Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, y'all. Kelly here, and I've got Miguel Silva coming at 7, so we'll catch up with him. I suggested on the air that to him, or asked him if he wanted to do something kind of along the lines of the Rossin Report for the city, and he seems like he's interested, so maybe we can start getting a little bit more info on the city. Ben is coming in on the next week. Got a new kid in the house, so can't really blame him for that. Story-wise today, there is nothing. I don't think there's anything along the lines of the Hillary Clinton situation where it looks like she could be indicted. Although I was trying to figure this out in my mind, and maybe you could help me, 523-1450 at 6:07 on the 13th of August in Las Cruces. I'm trying to figure out if it's is the, Obama trying to help, assuming that Obama has a lot of influence on the Justice Department, the FBI, in deciding whether a case gets prosecuted or not? And I don't think there's been any doubt up to this point that his the White House has an enormous amount of say over whether things get prosecuted, like Fast and Furious, like the IRS issue with Tea Party, like so many other things out there that does Benghazi never seems to have been really prosecuted, except maybe by the House or looked into. I'm trying to figure out if he's indifferent and just kind of letting things happen, which just contradicts what I just said, or if he is trying to get rid of her. But I was thinking, you know, if maybe the Democrats see Hillary as a tainted brand or a brand that cannot function, can't make it to the White House, then if they push her out, it makes room for other people. But on the other hand, maybe here's another possibility. They're putting up a firewall around her by investigating this stuff early enough and get it out of the way. They say they do a couple of month investigation and say, we've looked into the emails, you know, much heat and much smoke, no fire. We're not going to prosecute on this. Then she can say, I didn't do anything wrong. And some of the other issues that are going on around out there. So I think that she is, she's got a couple of different agencies that are looking into her. And so the issue now is that according to one report, they found when they looked into these emails, they took 20 random emails and found four of them had classified information. Two of those were at the highest level. And so extremely classified stuff. And satellite pictures that are amongst our most valuable information, it was in the email. So then the question is now, does the FBI have to go forward with an investigation of the Department of Justice? Anyway, I've got a little bit of a clip about this for you.
News alert for you now. Brand new information in the Hillary Clinton email scandal. She has now relented to months of demands to relinquish her personal email server following a report that her server contained top secret emails. Joining us now to weigh in is Fox News senior judicial analyst, Judge Andrew Napolitano. Judge, this is a big deal, so big that you called it a grave situation for Hillary Clinton's legal team. Why?
Here's why it's a grave situation. A federal judge ordered the State Department to reveal, to make public emails that she had given back to the State Department. The recipients of those emails were the Inspector General of the State Department and of the intelligence community. They randomly sampled 40 of them. Among the 40, they found four that were classified.
That's 10%.
Okay. They then revealed that. They then sent that to the FBI to commence either a criminal or a national security investigation, and they sent it to the Senate and House Intelligence and Judiciary Committees. Last night, they revealed that two of the four were top secret. What does top secret mean? The government has three classifications. The highest is top secret, meaning if it's revealed, it could cause grave harm to national security. The middle is secret, meaning if it's revealed, it could cause serious harm to national security. The bottom is confidential, meaning if it's revealed, it could cause some harm to national security. General Petraeus was indicted, prosecuted, and convicted for having confidential, the lowest level materials, in a desk drawer in his house. Mrs. Clinton, it has now been revealed, had top secret materials in the server in her barn at Chappaqua.
And that is likely to cause grave harm to national security as defined by federal law.
And the problem here is the fact that she didn't want her bosses at the White House to know what she was writing about, and it is perceived.
She also didn't want her colleagues in the State Department.
Right, so she had her own server, which is, you know, against protocol. Her spokespeople, and she herself has said, you know, it wasn't classified at the time, but that how the process works. The reason you use the State Department email system is so that it is vetted before you hit send.
She is probably going to argue that because the phrase, boom, top secret, was not stamped on each document, it wasn't top secret. That's not what the law says.
Right.
Before every person in the federal government, from the president to a file clerk, gets a national security clearance, they have a 30-minute in-person interview with an FBI agent who explains if there's any doubt about whether it's classified or not, it's classified.
Well, let me just add this one thing. It was never classified because she never submitted it.
Well, right, but it doesn't have to have that magic word classified on it. If the essence of it is a national secret, which if revealed could cause grave, serious, or some harm, it is classified, whether it's stamped classified or not.
I think this is important, at least for me, is how does this get started? There's a lot of people catching up in the middle and saying, wow, why is this on turbo speed? The special investigation, the Benghazi investigation, the special committee asked for the emails. She said she gave them. Then they find out about the private server. And then they find out about Sidney Blumenthal's emails. They say, you're supposed to give me all your emails. Sidney Blumenthal has some of your emails you never handed over.
Because
now they're looking at the orbit around her.
Okay, because as you pointed out, Brian, during the break, if the FBI has her server, they have the 33,000 emails that she destroyed, some of which showed up in Sidney Blumenthal's production to the committee. Exactly what you said.
Her judgment.
This is her worst political nightmare and a grave legal problem.
Let me just quick follow up on the word destroyed. If she did destroy it, is that a problem?
If she destroyed or tampered with the server, yes, that's obstruction of justice. If she thought she deleted those 33,000 and they passed through that server, the FBI tells me they're still in there. They can extract them.
Judge, your prediction.
There are serious problems in the FBI and in the Justice Department who are neither Republicans nor Democrats and who want to see the law enforced, and they will pursue this.
Before the election?
Before the election.
Will the Attorney General stop that from coming out because she's in charge?
She's a Barack Obama appointee, but she's far less political than her predecessor, Mr. Holder.
All right. Incredible insight,
Judge. Thank
Judge.
You.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? And I've got another clip here. And I'm sure that you care about this because Hillary Clinton is an extremely important person
in terms of
the last, say, 30 years of American life, you know? 2020, when did Bill Clinton get into office? So, you know, I mean, she's an extremely important person in the minds of a lot of people. She's had a lot of influence. That's the past. The real question now, where is her campaign going? Now, I ran into Keith Welpley yesterday in the supermarket and talked to him. And I invited him to come back on the show on a regular basis because I know there's some fans out there. And I like Keith. He's a really nice guy. But he and I were talking and I was kind of thinking this thing through, and I, you know, what's plan B for the Democrats? And so I said, you know, I mean, what are you going to do? And he says, well, you'll draft Biden and Biden will get as much support as Hillary. Well, if Biden gets as much support as Hillary, does that mean the candidate doesn't matter? The party matters to the Democrats? I don't know. Here's another clip. Well, this one's a little bit longer. Let's take a break here. Take a little break and come back and talk just a little bit more about Hillary. I'm doing some national stuff now, but when we come back and talk to Miguel, we'll catch up with some local stuff. You're listening to Kelly O'Connell on AM Las Cruces 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in, 805-6180. Trying to stay on top of these texts a little bit better. Here's one statement from OMG. It's from Frankie. He says, you will never get Hillary. She's Teflon like that kook Reagan. That just proves it right there. It doesn't matter the candidate. The party matters. If you're going to attack Reagan and support Hillary, you got some serious mental problems. We'll be right back. 617, shame on you, Frankie. 523-1450 to call in.
Hello.
Miguel's coming in 7.
Oh,
no, that's fine. It's a little hot in here. It's some real problems for Hillary. You've heard it from the judge. Here is a little bit from Mark Halperin on Hillary Clinton's email server being a political danger and potential legal liability. But here is, we first have a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Jeff.
Good morning, Jeff. What's going on?
I got a couple of things at least.
I'm listening.
Did you notice any air pollution in the air down this way yesterday?
Yes, I did. Is that from the fires?
Oh, I don't know. It looks like it was coming from the south, but they don't say anything about that on the news or Doppler Dave or the emergency thing.
Well, I think it had kind of blown away by evening, hadn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Could be air pollution from El Paso.
Well, I guess that's true. All right, anything else?
Chuck Norris for vice presidential candidate for Trump. Chuck Norris. Do you know anything about Chuck Norris?
Yeah, one of the things I know about him is he's like 80 years old.
He's that old?
I'm looking it up right now. He's in terrific shape, but I remember looking up his thing one day, and he's pretty old. I mean, 1940, 60, say 75. I guess the Donald is 69, so it's not, 70 years. He's 75 right now. 70 years old isn't like it was 50 years ago, but it's still getting up there.
Yeah, there was some guy that's 90 years old playing hockey up in Duluth, Minnesota, it said yesterday on the news. So, but I can tell you more about, do you know what his real first name is?
Carlos Ray Chuck Norris?
Yeah, is his mother Hispanic, or why did he get that first name?
I don't know. Maybe they threw a dart in the phone book. I have no idea. I don't know that much about him. What do you know?
I saw his biography, and he said he's been in the military, so he's served in the military. And when he was in the service, the guys in his drill sergeant or something says, "We're going to call you Chuck." So they called anybody that was Charles or Carlos Chuck. He says, "That's Hispanic. What are you doing with a Hispanic name when your last name's Norris?" So, Steve, why doesn't he go by Carlos? Maybe he should legally change it.
Jeff, maybe he did what you suggested and changed his name to be more American.
No, he said the military said, "We're going to call you Chuck." There was a muckraker journalist, novelist around the year 1900, the turn of the last century, And his name is Frank Norris, but his real name is Benjamin Franklin Norris, so he shortened it to Frank. So maybe Chuck could change his name to Benjamin Franklin Norris and be on the ticket with Trump.
Are you, Jeff, are you against non-white people running for office?
No, they have a right, but we have a right, too, to have who we think should be in the top office.
So you yourself are white, and you find other races to be inferior in terms of leadership ability and such?
No.
So why are you sticking with the white race?
That's just who I prefer would be in office.
Is there a reason for the preference?
I don't know. I'm talking about Benjamin Franklin Norris. You're the one that brought up race first.
Actually, you brought up race yesterday, and you brought it up today. You brought up
What about it?
Hold on a second. Jeff,
what are you?
You're the one who said that if he's got a Mexican name and he's white, he changed it to Chuck. And that's the same kind of thing that you were asking a presidential candidate Cruz yesterday. So you obviously have a fixation on it.
Well, Linda Ronstadt named her son Carlos, too. And I didn't like that.
She deliberately chose a Hispanic first name for her kid.
I have a right to say, why'd you do that?
I don't want to buy any Linda Ronstadt records anymore because of that. Linda Ronstadt is Hispanic.
I know.
So why wouldn't she name her child a Hispanic first name? That doesn't even make sense.
I don't know. Because she's a multiculturalist or something, I guess.
She's Hispanic. She names her child a Hispanic name and it makes her a multiculturalist?
Her last name's Ronstadt. That's a German last name.
Linda Ronstadt is at least half Mexican, from what I understand. But anyway.
She should change her last name from Ronstadt to Stan Rounds, you know, or something. You know?
Why would people, even in your ideal world, need to change their first or last name to make you happy?
Well, they do that. I heard in Norway, you have to name your kid on a certain list. It's part of their culture. So, I don't know. That's part of our culture, the way you name people and say things and stuff.
Well, it seems to me
I'll give you an example. Up in California, there's a county, Del Norte. That's how you say it in Spanish. But the locals, they pronounce it Del Norte. And Terry Bradshaw, he gives a little promotional thing about promoting Del Norte County, and that's how he pronounces it. And that's how the mayor of the city, Crescent City, pronounces it, Del Norte. You got a problem with that? Does Las Cruces got a problem with that? Does Miguel Silva got a problem if you say Dona Ana County instead of Doniana?
You know, Jeff.
They got a problem.
What's the point? What's your point?
Telling us how to pronounce everything and everything.
What is your point? What are you fighting for?
If they want to call it Del Norte, and I'd move there and I'd say I'm to bolster that.
What are you fighting for?
Because, you know, people move up there from Southern California and they'll start complaining that it should be called Del Norte.
Do I have to figure out what you're fighting for? Don't you yourself even know what you're fighting for, Jeff?
And I'll give you another example.
Jeff, how about this? You're fighting for the right of white culture to put its imprint on society. Is that correct?
I'll give you another example.
Anyway, Jeff, thanks for the call. I appreciate your examples. But anyway, hey, man, personally, I don't care if people fight for the white culture or the right to name their kids white names or anything else, but it's just one more opinion out there. I do wonder, though, if there's not an anti-white sentiment building up in this country. So anyway, Jeff kind of brings up accidentally one of the issues that I think is going on with the reason that Trump is popular amongst a lot of people. I think there's many people out there who feel like they have been unfairly targeted. They're nice Americans. They just want to, you know, live their lives and mind their business, and they're getting jumped on by you know, political correctness or the university system or the government's coming up with the rules and laws that they don't understand, that they don't think is necessary. And I think that these people, whether you agree with them or not, these people are kind of pushing back, and they feel like their entire existence is kind of being brought into question. In other words, these people feel like the white race, they're being told the white race should have never come to North America and this type of thing. And I don't think I've heard anybody express it that way, but I think that is how it's kind of coming out. Now, how can you be surprised at that when the amount of emphasis that this particular president has put on race and basically put this onus on people to, in a sense, if you're going to go after some group, then at the same time, you're causing that, you know, if you're going to promote one thing that is in the opposite of another thing. I'm just kind of throwing this out there. I'm thinking out loud here why there might be Jeffs and Mikes out there. And by the way, Mike, if you're Compost Menace, if you're and can hear my voice and have a phone, give a call. It's been a while. But I think that there are certainly nutcases out there that are race baiters. But it happens on both sides. It's not just, you know, it's not just white crackers. There's a lot of race baiting that goes on in, say, for instance, the black community. So I think the pushback with Trump is these people want to feel like they're not being discredited when they don't feel like they've done anything and that they're just as American as anybody else. This political correctness movement is in danger to become kind of a joke because some element of society is deciding what's offensive and what's not offensive. And I heard this really bizarre argument from The View yesterday, and it was just silly. And they were arguing about Trump and race and everything. And it was just to listen to it, it just had the strongest sense of how nonsensical it was. And so this Rosie Perez lady that was on the View felt insulted, and she flipped out and she quit The View. Now, that's the kind of thing that I think is totally ridiculous. I was thinking about this last night, just to come on the show and talk about, try to put out there, what is more powerful than getting offended? It's much more powerful to have free speech and believe in free speech and not be offended by the comments of other people. We want a durable society, not a society full of babies that are getting upset at the drop of a hat. That's my opinion. Anyway, Kelly O'Connell, you're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. 523-1450, and we'll be right back. Let me play this clip for you from The View. Kelly Osborne, 2015 Donald Trump Mexican remark backfires, upset Rosie Perez. This really kind of just sums up to me how ridiculous this political correctness movement is. They're, all of these people are fighting to be more pure than the next person. At the same time, they're getting ready to get offended at the drop of the hat. Do you remember when people were not easily offended? Was it better then or now? I'm not talking about whatever gains that you or I think that have been achieved through political correctness, if any. But, you know, there's not being here. Let me just throw one thing out for you to think about. Do you think that being politically correct is the same as being polite? It's not. The reason that I say that is because I think politeness is used. People that are polite are the people that are worried about political correctness. Number one, tend to be more polite people, and number two, people that are in situations that are a little bit dicey or a little bit you're public figure or whatever. So you got to kind of pay attention to this stuff. Being polite though is not the same thing. For example, if you're not politically correct, that doesn't mean that you have to insult people of different races and that you're a bigot or say rude things. That's total nonsense. Political correctness didn't invent being polite or manners. It exploits that. And, did no manners exist around the world until some genius thought of political correctness? No. Number one, number two, political correctness is always thrown. It's always or typically people who are conservative or not liberal who are forced to apologize, and so it brings enormous power to the left. But anyway, check out this ridiculous conversation on The View where Rosie Perez quits, which, I mean, I don't even watch The View, but I happen to, I don't watch TV, but I happen to see this clip floating around the net. Check this out.
Kick every Latino out of this country.
All right, and just, pardon me for restarting this, but this is Kelly Osbourne, who is the son, the daughter, the British daughter of rocker Ozzy Osbourne of Black Sabbath.
Kick every Latino out of this country, then who is going to be cleaning your toilet, Donald Trump?
Kelly Osbourne appeared on The View today. She called out Donald Trump's racist remarks,
I'm looking around for something that'll just do it. But anyway, there was this ridiculous debate over whether basically Kelly Osbourne was trying to defend, she was trying to fight back against Donald Trump's statements on, and I thought I had a clip of this that I found last night. I did find one last night, but I guess I didn't put it into my list of stuff, but, I'll find it and I'll play it for you a little bit later. But anyway, it's this nonsensical argument. They both sides agreed that they love Hispanics, and both sides agreed that they don't like Donald Trump, and yet they end up, one accuses the other one of being a racist. It was so nonsensical. But we have a call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, it's Ozzy.
Dude, where you been, man? People were asking me.
Some dentistry. The dogs, I broke up a fight and they knocked out two of my front teeth.
Geez, that's so creepy. I even asked yesterday or the day before, is it possible the dogs have finally gone after Mike?
Now I really look like a redneck.
Well, I hear them in the background. They don't seem any worse for wear themselves.
Hey, Kelly, that thing with Kelly Osbourne, did she make some kind of remark about, like, Hispanic people cleaning toilets or something?
Yeah, no, I mean, here, okay, look, you've got to understand, and I mean, having lived in Britain and in Ireland for like 3 years, I know how those people see things. If you're on the train in America and a black woman kisses a white guy or vice versa, people would kind of turn around and look at that. People wouldn't even pay any attention to that in Britain because they don't perceive race in the same way as we do. But she's over here trying to swim in these waters. She's in perilous situation trying to comment on Mexicans and toilet cleaning, which I will admit sounds offensive, but that doesn't mean Rosie O'Donnell has to get in a snit and quit and call her a racist and everything. What do you think?
I think people are way too sensitive, but the thing is, Kelly, what I consider racism is something like Margaret Sanger with Planned Parenthood, you know, aborting black babies, and then you got Hillary Clinton getting their highest award from Planned Parenthood. I was reading an article the other day on Alex Jones' InfoWars, and they showed a picture of Margaret Sanger giving a speech to the Ku Klux Klan. And, I mean, no one brings this stuff up about Hillary Clinton receiving the highest award from Planned Parenthood, which is a racist organization.
Well, I mean, how could anybody possibly be, you know, that's like, I don't know, Tom Brady winning a quarterback award. How could you be surprised?
Well, she came out and she even said that she totally agrees with Planned Parenthood. Well, Donald Trump at least came out and said he would defund the abortion part of Planned Parenthood. He'd keep the other part, but he said it's an abortion factory.
I mean, it is an abortion factory.
Aborting black babies.
All right, so here's another issue that comes up. This Ben Carson said this, that they put abortion mills in the black community to keep the population down. A black abortion is three times the rate of white or Hispanic or any other abortion. And so if you think about that, if you apply that back to since 1970, the last 40, 50 years, they're missing millions of people in that community, probably, who knows, 5 million people or whatever. So anyway, abortion every single day, I think, is becoming less it seems to me, you tell me your opinion on this, every single day it seems less likely of an option. It seems more ridiculous and cruel.
It is cruel. And I wish they'd get rid of this abortion factory they got in Las Cruces. I mean, it's wrong. People should be outraged about it. I mean, where's the outrage? You know? I mean, people are so, they're like, they don't care anymore. They're apathetic to what's going on. And this Hillary Clinton, she gets up there and she gives speeches and stuff. And to me, she's like a racist. You know, and no one will even bring up Planned Parenthood. How she is a big, you know, an award winner from Planned Parenthood, or how she supports their views. I mean, that's racism, aborting black babies and being in, and then selling baby parts. I mean, it's ridiculous. What is she, a transhumanist or what?
I'm sure she probably is. A transhumanist, by the way, people, is the belief that you're going to be able to live forever if you bring in parts from other people or genetically modified parts or mechanical parts. But anyway, Mike, I got to take a break here. Was there anything else?
No, but I'm still with you.
All right, Mike, hang in there. Well, be careful of those critters.
I will.
Have a good day. All right, folks. Well, good to hear that Mike's still alive and kicking out there. All right, so they're now admitting that they're selling parts from fetuses without consent of the mother. And my reaction to that was, I mean, what difference does it make? If you've already decided that the fetus is garbage, if the baby is garbage, it only makes sense that you would then sell it because it's got some industrial value or whatever. So, I mean, people getting outraged over that, I don't know. It would be like getting outraged over selling the gold teeth out of Jewish people from Auschwitz. Once you've accepted that you can liquidate a group, a subgroup of people, why get offended or in a snit? It's contradictory. If you're getting offended because fetus parts shouldn't be sold, it's because they're human parts, right? Anyway, we'll be right back. 646 Kelly O'Connell Show. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450, 805-6180 to text. We'll be right back.
The all-new 2015 Chevrolet Trax with more cargo space than the Nissan Juke.
I think it's contemporary.
I'm just going to call it the green thing.
When you set out to find new roads, you create the all-new Chevrolet Trax. It's city smart.
Take every Latino out of this country, then who is going to be cleaning your toilet, Donald Trump?
Kelly Osbourne appeared on The View today. She called out Donald Trump's racist remarks, which, if you remember correctly, were a lot like this.
They're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists, and some...
Bold past, incredible future. Click on the video now to experience power and performance in a new 2016 Jaguar F-Type from Jaguar.
There are a
Six forty-nine, and here is this clip. And the only reason that I bring this up is I just think it just sums up. It just has, political correctness has made life miserable. If not totally miserable, it has brought misery into the society without any up. There is no upside to political correctness unless you're a person who is manipulating people through it, and then it must be the best thing since. They figured out how to brew beer, but I just think it's the worst thing. And the kind of arguments that people get in over it, I mean, and there is this article that came out that I meant to mention yesterday from The Atlantic that I'm going to dig up when we come back. I'm going to play this clip for you, and then we'll take a break. And after we come back from the break, I'm going to read a little bit from this Atlantic Monthly article on this baby generation that's coming up that demands never to be offended. It's the craziest thing I've ever heard. Anyway, here's Rosie and Kelly clashing over Latino racist comments, or supposedly racist. And this is from the Daily Mail. Real hard to get this thing to play. Here we go.
Stride-Rite made-to-play shoes are built for this.
So, anyway, I burn off an ad. I put it on hold. Another ad suddenly pops up. They're like,
because kid.
Here we go. From The View.
There are a lot of Latinos here in this country that do agree that the immigration problem is a problem, and it does need to be addressed, and it does need to be fixed.
Interesting.
But making those comments, those racist comments, do not help.
And if you
kick every Latino out of this country, then who is going to be cleaning your toilet, Donald Trump?
Oh, that's not.
In the sense that,
no.
You know what I mean? Like, what I'm saying,
there's more jobs to be
in LA, they always
work. But
they
Latinos
don't.
Are not only the
no,
only people.
No, I didn't mean it like that. Come on. No, I would never mean it like that. Okay. I'm not part of this argument.
I think what you're saying is that Trump himself
needs to look
probably relies
and
on a lot of these people that he's insulting.
I think, you know what?
All right, that was the offensive comment. The idea that the only people that is cleaning a toilet in L.A. is a Hispanic person. Is it offensive? I mean, she's not even from this country, but should Rosie O'Donnell have been offended?
Stride-Rite made to play shoes are built for this.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Do you like to be around people that are hypersensitive and get offended at the drop of a hat?
Because kids are built for this.
About getting offended at
Stride-Rite built for childhood.
You know what I mean? I'm talking about.
If you kick every Latino out of this country, then who is going to be cleaning your toilet, Donald Trump?
Oh, that's not.
In the sense that,
no.
You know what I mean? Like, what I'm saying
there's
that.
There's more jobs to be.
In LA, they always work.
But
they
Latinos
don't.
Are not only the
no,
only people.
No, I didn't mean it like that.
That.
Come on. No, I would never mean it like that.
Because I am Latino and I'm just very sensitive when it comes to that issue. I was so offended by what he said. I didn't call him.
All right. So here it shows even more how ridiculous, in my opinion, this thing is, because Rosie Perez, who's an actress, she's a dancer. She was on Solid Gold. I saw a clip of her. She looked like she was kind of, I don't know, like, not really a dance student, you know, but just, I don't know. Anyway, she got famous through Solid Gold somehow, got into acting. But she admits she met Donald Trump, and he was a lovely man. And then she hears him say these things about Latinos, which is part of a campaign speech. And when she's trying to make a point, she's deeply offended. They come on The View, which is this, like, safe haven for women to, you know, express emotion and stuff. And she gets offended again because this dumb Kelly Osbourne says, you know, if you want a toilet cleaned in California, call a Mexican. Who cares? What difference does it make? I mean, yeah, these guys are, it's like, it is similar to the debate of how many angels dance on the head of a pin. Once you get into the argument, there's no end to it. It's better to have free speech and not get offended and let people have their own opinions. And if somebody really crosses the line, pull them aside in private and talk to them and explain your position. Defecating in the area where we're getting our drinking water. It's a terrible thing to watch this country come apart like that. Anyway, Kelly O'Connell, and you're listening to Amless Cruises on 1450 KOBE. 523-1450. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Kelly.
Hey, Kelly. Real quick, have you ever reported yet on about the black pastors demanding that the bust of Margaret Sanger be removed from the Smithsonian Museum?
I haven't heard that one.
I just sent it to you via text. It's on the Blaze. It's there in the same hall where Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King is.
Really?
Yeah, honest to goodness, and about black pastors, there's a letter they wrote. It'll be on this story. It's outrageous, and good for them. So
all right.
Take a look at that.
I'll mention it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks. I just got a call about black pastors wanting bust of Margaret Sanger removed from the Smithsonian. And in the same area, apparently, that Martin Luther King Jr. is, they've got this bust of Margaret Sanger. So, Margaret, just to let you know, the beginning of this group, Planned Parenthood, it's a eugenics movement in the old days, in the beginning, when they wanted to breed people like cattle, and Hitler got a hold of this idea, and that's one of the reasons he wanted to kill the Jews and make this master race. So here's the pastors wrote a letter, and I just got a call on this. We are writing to ask that Margaret Sanger's likeness be removed from all National Portrait Gallery exhibits. Her bust should not be part of the gallery's Struggle for Justice exhibit, which honors great achievements, striking down longstanding segregation practices and discrimination in American society. Quote unquote, Miss Sanger may have been a lot of things, but a champion of justice she definitely was not. Ironically, Sanger's bust is featured in the MPG Struggle for Justice exhibit alongside two of America's most celebrated and authentic champions of equal rights, Dr. Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks. So you can say many things about Margaret Sanger, but she was an anti-child. She was for zero population growth, and more than anything, she believed in eugenics, and abortion was one way to go after eugenics, and those people would have been had a racial view. They would have put the racial view into Darwinism or evolution. Now think about how nasty that discussion would look. You know, you can just think about the implications. Anyway, Kelly O'Connelly, I'm Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 52314 to call in 805-61802 text, and we will be back, and we'll have Miguel Silva in the next round. Hey, it's Kelly.
Hey, Kelly. This is Deborah. Wonderful Thursday to you.
Yeah, you
Hope
too.
It's Thursday.
What's up?
A whole lot. I wanted to know if anybody has seen the Les Pooches, because I don't get to the store the whole lot.
The what?
Also, any of the pooches. You called them pooches in the grocery store?
These flea-ridden pooches that are getting pushed around in the store?
Oh, my goodness. My one friend in Alamogordo, he goes at night, and I said, well, most people disabled or elderly are afraid to go out shopping at night, you know, so he don't see them. And so I was given a third-day notice to move on Saturday. And isn't that interesting, after the fact that I told him about the maintenance and exposed himself?
I can't hear you. You're breaking up.
Okay. Well, he says, I'll talk to him. So a day or two later, I get a three-day notice to move. So that was Saturday, and I'm still here. I'm fighting it.
Uh-huh. Well, that's
you
good.
There?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. And so I probably couldn't say it on the air. I was going to say the word testicles. I've been told by men I have more balls than some men they know.
Huh. That's good.
I get knocked down, but I get back up stronger, my
that's
brother.
Good.
I'm your sister in Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
All right. Good luck, Deborah. I'm going to go grab a cup of coffee before the next round. Hang in there.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. So just heard that about the black pastors asking to get rid of Margaret Sanger. I wonder what percentage of churches accept abortion. It would be interesting to find out. But you can't avoid the fact that there's three times as much abortion rates three times higher in the black community. If they hadn't done that, if that hadn't been a factor, then the Hispanics would not have overtaken blacks as the top minority. So that would have huge implications. I just think the more I think about abortion, the more I see it as not just an kind of a moral issue, but an economic issue and an issue that has to do with the use of resources. Your number one resource is going to be in any community is going to be the human beings that you have. And so and to take human beings in a fetal state and chop them up, pour them down the sink, sell their organs, you know, I mean, it's ghastly. But at another level, if we had another 100, like I did this article a couple of years ago, if we had 150 more people in the culture, then we wouldn't be arguing about as much about how many illegal people we need in here to run our economy, right? I mean, kind of goes without saying. So anyway, I've got a little continuation of the thing on, and we do have Miguel in the studio, on this thing with Donald Trump, just to let you know that his numbers there, he's number one in the polls. In any particular poll you tend to look at, he's number one. And I think that the reason that he is still number one has to do with, like I just played for you on the View and the disagreement over abortion, all these things that he's not afraid to pick up and debate and push back on. And I just think that there is this sense out there that America has lost its way, that we, whatever we aspired to be in the past, we're not up to that anymore. And one of the main reasons is because we're afraid to speak our mind. How can you do anything great if you're afraid to even give your own opinion on something? And if there's some small group of people who are controlling what you can talk about, what you can't talk about, what you say you believe in, because at some point freedom of speech has to do with not just being able to say something, but what you believe. There's a lot of people out there that want to purify the thoughts of other people. And I've got a little clip here on the fact that all of the experts were wrong on all of these elite Republicans and all of the elite people on the left and many of the elites in the Republican Party in the GOP movement have proclaimed the death of Trump. And it's just every time they say it, he seems to get stronger. So here's from Jake Tapper.
Alert. It's our brand new CNN ORC poll out of Iowa right now. And our first poll of that state, this election cycle, breaking right this minute. It's taking stock of the GOP field. The numbers show Donald Trump on top, Dr. Ben Carson and Carly Fiorina rising up the Republican power ranking. CNN chief national correspondent John King is over at the Magic Wall to run down the numbers for us. And John, once again, the pundits were all wrong. Donald Trump, no matter what controversy he causes, no apparent damage done to his candidacy.
No serious damage anyway, Jake. If you look deep in the weeds of the poll, a few warning signs, but the big numbers, all good news for Mr. Trump. Let's look at the number. Our brand new poll, just releasing right now, 22%. Donald Trump leading the pack among Iowa caucus goers, Republicans and independents who say they will vote in the Iowa caucuses. You mentioned Dr. Carson. A strong debate finish has moved him up to second place in Iowa. Trouble for Scott Walker. He was the Iowa leader pre-debate, third place at 9% right now. Also trouble down here for Jeb Bush. Iowa never his strongest state, but he's dropping down into the middle of the pack. And you mentioned as well Carly Fiorina, the breakout performance in the second-tier debate. She's now in the top tier, the top five, if you will, if you look at the Iowa polling numbers. What's going on here in the state of Iowa? Again, if you want to see one warning sign for Mr. Trump, it's here. 27% of Iowa men back Trump, only 15% of Iowa women. So there is a big gender gap, perhaps some damage here from his showdown with the Fox moderator, Megyn Kelly. But I should note this, in the Iowa Republican caucuses, more men than women typically vote. So it might be a problem for Mr. Trump, not as big in the Iowa caucuses as it might be elsewhere. Who gets him? Remember, he's the billionaire in the race. He likes to tell us he went to the best schools. His support, though, highest from those who make less than $50,000 and those who have not attended colleges. And here's an interesting point, Jake. Mr. Trump, he has spoken favorably about single-payer health care. He has an immigration position some Tea Party voters would call amnesty, yet he is leading the pack in Iowa among those who say they are Tea Party supporters at 19%, Dr. Carson at 18%. If you are Ted Cruz and Scott Walker looking for Tea Party support, Donald Trump is not only in your lane, Jake, he's blocking it.
Fascinating. John King, thanks. With me on the...
So anyway, you hear that Trump is just continues to rise, and there was one other thing that I wanted to get to you guys, and maybe I played, I can't remember, I'm trying to remember if I played this or not, but it was a statement from, and if, even if I played it, I want to play it again because I think it is, it's a very powerful statement from Newt Gingrich on Donald Trump, and I thought it was insightful. He's not like anyone we've ever seen before. And I think bear that in mind as you think about this loudmouth billionaire has maybe more quality than a lot of people, more inherent quality than a lot of people would admit. Here's Newt Gingrich.
17 Republican candidates all wanting to be the next president of the United States. But why is Donald Trump striking a chord with so many GOP voters?
What I say, and oftentimes it's fun, it's kidding, we have a good time. What I say is what I say. I've been challenged by so many people, and I don't frankly have time for total political correctness. I would be so different from what you have right now, like the polar opposite. We have a president who doesn't have a clue. Our leaders are stupid. Our politicians are stupid. And the Mexican government is much smarter, much sharper, much more cunning. And they send the bad ones over because they don't want to pay for them. They don't want to take care of them. Why should they when the stupid leaders of the United States will do it for them? And that's what's happening, whether you like it or not. If it weren't for me, you wouldn't even be talking about illegal immigration, Chris. You wouldn't even be talking about it.
But with all the candidates vying for the nomination, how can the others break out and separate from the pack like Donald Trump? Former presidential candidate, Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, joins us. Nice to have you back on Fox News.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay, so what do the other 16 have to do, these Republicans, because Donald Trump is stealing the thunder? He's stealing the numbers, the polls?
Look, first of all, we just need to be patient. It is a long way from here to February 1st, and February 1st in Iowa is the first vote. He saw an amazing experience on Thursday. Carla Fiorina in the early debate is now judged by polls and everything else to be the biggest winner. Here she is. She talked to the smallest audience, but because she was so effective, she's gotten a pretty significant bounce and has moved into a much stronger position than she had last Wednesday. So people got to play their game, focus on their messages. Trump is a phenomenon, and whether he's a long-term phenomenon or he's a short-term phenomenon, we don't know yet. But he's not like anybody else we've seen in politics.
And why? Because he's blunt, he's got money, he's paying for his own campaign, he says what he thinks?
Take money, for example. Mitt Romney was moderately wealthy. Donald Trump is very wealthy. People didn't necessarily like Romney being wealthy. People who like Trump think it's terrific that he's wealthy.
Why? Why?
I think he's captured this sense of persona. We live in an era, whether it's the Kardashians or Tom Cruise's latest movie or whatever it is, we live in an era where personalities fill up space. And Trump had a lot of experience with The Apprentice at playing reality television. So in a lot of ways, what you're getting is the reality candidate. It's like it's a reality show for Trump. And he comes across very aggressive, very energetic, and he's on permanent offense. I've never seen anybody as capable of being on permanent offense as Donald Trump.
All right. 8 years ago, we saw the beginning of the Tea Party, and that seemed to be a group of people who had a little sort of anger, and they were upset with the Washington as it is. And is that the same sort of anger or upset that we're now seeing him? I mean, the emails I get in support of Donald Trump are the people who are just, they're mad at Washington.
Well, I think people are more and more disgusted, and they're more and more troubled. You look at flat wages, you look at the weakest recovery in 70 years economically, you look at Ferguson last night, you just go through item after item after item. The system doesn't work. The government doesn't work. We just had one of the folks that we work with applied 7 weeks ago to get a passport, and it finally came through today. I mean, you look at the Veterans Administration doesn't work.
Whose fault is this?
Well, ultimately, we're going to have a very major overhaul of the whole system. I mean, if you look at the EPA, which routinely wants to put people in jail, I'm actually writing about this tomorrow, they routinely want to put businesses in jail. The EPA just had created a toxic creek in Colorado, which is now a state of emergency, and I'm writing, we should be putting EPA officials in jail.
All right, so, I mean, you get the sense from that. I think that Newt Gingrich is about as good as it gets when it comes to analysis. He's a very deep thinker. The claim, and I think it's true, is Donald Trump has a quality that no other candidate has, and no other candidate probably that we've seen in our lifetime and maybe in the history of America. I'm not saying he's the best thing that's ever happened. Don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say, but he's got a certain quality that appeals to people right now. Opinionated, confident, brash, maybe a little bit egotistical or a lot egotistical, but willing to stand up and say things, popular or not, he will not back down because he's going in a direction. He's got momentum. He's headed somewhere, and he is trying to get there maybe as efficiently as possible. You know, making a lot of apologies does a couple of things. Number one, it makes you look weak. Number two, it makes it seem like you don't know what you're talking about or you're not really taking things seriously. Number three, it slows you down. You know, it's a sign of weakness. The fact that the GOP is one big apology is disgusting. If they're going to make it in the future, they've got to shake that off and go back and get the power of their convictions going again. Anyway, speaking of momentum, we got Miguel in the studio, and we'll be right back to talk to him a little bit about the goings-on of the city. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, KOBE, 523-1450, and 805-6180. Hey, it's Kelly. If they can't make a statement, some people would just hang up because then what? Don't take your call and put it on immediately. Yeah. Like, if you're always apologizing, what does it say about you? You're mistaken. You're misforgotten. Right? If you're always apologizing, you're an idiot. Yeah, but what is PC movement? Maybe there's a movement to force people to capitulate and apologize for your data. That is a terrible movement. Now, have there been good things that have come out? The N-word was already gone. Here's this retard. That needs to come back. He cracked that door a little bit. What's better than being around? What's better than being around a really funny person? I don't know. Political correctness is a joke. But we didn't evolve through political correctness. We evolved through the Constitution and the Declaration, through the Civil War, through the Civil Rights Act, and all these different.
Those are the people that are the most controlling. You're saying that a person who's a Christian can't publicly disagree with homosexuality. To be a white person means you can never, you know, so there's a set of beliefs that are associated with political correctness. You have to agree with those or publicly keep your mouth shut. That is fascism.
Well, I've got Miguel here, and we're going to talk about the city a little bit. Miguel Silva, good morning, Miguel. I'm doing real good. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Blessed this morning.
Good, good. What do you got for us?
I remember, Kelly, you had asked me to come on. You have the infamous Rawson Report, which is really a great piece and a great report that